Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
We did it.
What? What's happening?
Oh, man, I was watching this crazy documentary about underwater cities.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's bizarro.
Is it?
I mean, that's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool. What's been up, man?
Oh, man. Hey. I don't know. It was freezing cold here, so this weekend we were pretty much homebound.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was,
how about you?
It's, let's see, in the 40s here, and everyone's complaining about how cold it is. Meanwhile, I'm just like walking around in a t-shirt.
I think tomorrow's the high is supposed to be 17, so.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
I wonder what we're getting, because I think we're getting part of that storm that was up north.
Yeah, you're probably going to be hit with it in a couple days, I'd guess.
Let's see. I'm looking at this now. Nope. I think somebody lied, because this thing is not cold.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be in the 40s until Tuesday, and then in the 50s Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So you'll be wearing shorts all week.
Yep, sure will. Man,
yeah,
it's 33 out right now. I was just outside in freaking shorts and a t-shirt.
Nice.
It is not cold. I don't know, like, I remember growing up and it being like, you know, in the 30s in New York, and it was cold as crap. I don't know if I've just, like, acclimated my body to the cold, or if it just doesn't feel cold. I don't know, man. Maybe I've lost all feeling. Maybe my black heart has taken over.
Maybe you're used to it at this point.
You think so?
Well, it's not really like the colds never get that terrible.
Yeah, that's
true. And if they ever get that terrible, it's not for that long.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe. I've been experimenting with the Wim Hof method. Have you heard of this guy? I'm sure
no,
you have.
It sounds like a yoga pose.
It is not a yoga pose. He's, where's he from? He's from like Finland or something. And, he discovered this like breathing technique. You might have heard of him, the Iceman, the guy that can like swim, or he like gets underwater, in the freezing water for like hours at a time. He like swam in the Arctic Ocean and just like his underwear. Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah.
The Iceman?
When was this happening?
This is current. I mean, I don't know when he did that. It's probably a few years ago. But this guy's still around.
No, you're scaring me now. You're dreaming of underwater cities and being able to breathe. Do you want to be an actual Aquaman? That's what I
want to know. Well, no. I mean, they're not really related.
You're doing a lot of underwater stuff.
Well, I am doing a lot of research for things. But I'm trying to spend less time consuming, you know what I mean? So I want to spend more time expanding myself and trying new things, and less time just like watching movies and reading stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I respect that.
I have decided I'm going to start reading more books, like books.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyways, yeah, the Wim Hof guy, he came up with this breathing technique that he says allows them to do this crazy crap. I don't know if you've heard about like people taking cold showers. Like he started this whole thing.
Sheesh.
Where like you go in, just take no hot water, just cold. You go in for like as long as you can stand it, which is usually like 10, 15 seconds, and you jump out. And you keep doing this every day until you're able to just take a full shower in cold ass water. And part of it has to do with this breathing technique that he came up with that he says like increases immunity and like helps you regulate your body and this, that, and the other. I don't know how true any of this crap is, but, so I've been experimenting with this thing and, I will tell you, it gives you like more, ability to hold your breath. That's for sure. I mean, after like doing it once or twice, you can already hold your breath for like 2 minutes.
You got more pep in your step.
You got more pep in your step. Yeah. So I've been looking at that, and it took me down some rabbit holes. I don't know how many, like how this, how people in your company do, but, you know, in a lot of tech companies, they like to experiment with things, you know what I mean? And
right.
So it took me down, like, holotropic breath, which gives you, like, mild hallucinations. It took me down like Kundalini yoga, so I'm gonna experiment with some breath of fire next week.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I want to try new things, Nick, you know what I mean? I want to see how much I can push myself.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, keep me posted.
I will. Don't you worry. I will.
All right. Good.
But I do recommend it. Matter of fact, maybe one day we'll do a breathing exercise on the podcast. That'll be great podcasting. We'll just breathe. So have you been doing anything cool?
Hello?
Hello.
What happened?
I don't know. I'm here.
I'm here.
See,
All I heard was a matter of fact, and then you dropped.
Oh no! Well, what I said is, as a matter of fact, we should do a breathing exercise on the podcast one day because it'll be very exciting podcasting.
Yeah, and while we're at it, let's show pages of comic books and not describe them, but you know what page we're on. I know what page we're on,
yeah.
But then we just talk about it.
See, you get it, Nick.
Oh, man.
You know what I was thinking about right before we started? I was like, one of these days, we're going to record the podcast, and then in post, I'm going to tweak like the audio pitch, so we just sound like chipmunks the whole time.
Oh my god!
And just release it like that.
That'll be our last podcast that we hear. Holy mackerel, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can watch Alvin and the Chipmunks. For our April Fool's episode,
that is easily the number three most annoying holiday song.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yes,
I hate Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Easily number three.
There is nothing I like about any animated chipmunk and or CGI chipmunk and or real life chipmunks. In fact, my dogs chase chipmunks around the yard all the time. They don't even come in the yard anymore. We have some moles that try to like dig tunnels in springtime.
Ooh.
Guess what? Uh-huh. I get dead moles at my back door.
And then the moles stop digging.
Yep. Especially the little dog, man. I don't know what American Eskimos are bred to do. I think that I thought they were just like toy dogs, but maybe not. Maybe they're like terriers. You know, terriers were bred to like hunt rats and shit.
Well, you got a good dog there. So,
Oh man, she freaking digs up holes all over the yard. But if it keeps the moles and chipmunks out, good.
Right, just keep them in check. That's all you need.
Check, check. Yes, check, Mike. Check.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It is fantastic, Nick. It is. I went to Costco today.
Oh, do tell.
I bought some Mercona almonds.
Oh, did you sample them yet?
Oh man, I was eating them at Costco.
Are they different?
They're good.
Aren't they sort of like in between an almond and like a, what are the kinds you like?
Macadamias?
Macadamias, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I usually don't like almonds because almonds are hard.
Mm-hmm.
But these are not, dude. Yeah, yeah, I know. It's good. I like it. Yeah. They're not as good as macadamias.
But they have the similar like rich oil.
Yeah, yeah.
Flavor to them.
Funny, that's the first thing I did is I checked the nutrition label.
Yeah.
Because I was like, can I eat these?
Mm-hmm.
And I sure can, Nick.
Yeah.
So I bought a tub of them. I bought me a giant bag of macadamias again.
Mm.
And what else did I get? I told my
what
wife.
What else do you need?
Well, I told my wife we need to get a standalone freezer to put in the garage.
Smart.
Because we bought that giant bag of chicken that's like 38 pounds of chicken. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep,
it's for like
sure.
300 chicken breasts in a bag.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then we got a bag of tilapia. Matter of fact, I made tilapia tonight. It was really good.
Nice.
I'm usually not a fan of tilapia, but I found some oven-fried keto tilapia. I found this recipe, and it was delicious. I switched it up a little bit. So the recipe called for you do the tilapia, then you do salt and pepper, and then you put mayo on top, and then Parmesan cheese and pork rub or whatever on top. And I was like, who the hell carries pork rub in their house, like, just all the time? Like, who rubs pork on a weekly basis? You know what I mean? Like, nobody does that.
No.
So, fortunately, I had some poultry seasoning. So, I replaced the mayo with ranch dressing.
Oh.
Because I didn't think my wife and Reagan would like mayo on their fish.
Okay.
So, I did ranch dressing. And then I did the poultry seasoning on top and then some lime juice because I was out of lemon juice.
Nice.
I baked it for 15 minutes and then I'm out of Parmesan cheese. I didn't know that, but I'm out of Parmesan cheese. So I just topped it with half mozzarella, half cheddar shredded. Mm-hmm. And then I baked it for another 5 minutes and it was freaking delicious.
Dang, delicious. That does sound good.
And then I made Brussels sprouts. No sauce, just Brussels sprouts. With a little salt and pepper. And then I did lemon pepper cauliflower rice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's fancy. Good. So just cauliflower rice, 2 teaspoons of lime juice, a bunch of pepper. I don't even know. I have the pepper cracker. So I did like, I think, 12 cracks. Mm. And then 3 tablespoons of butter, 3 tablespoons of sour cream.
Nice.
It was freaking banging, dude.
Do you rice your own cauliflower?
No, I bought the 3,000-pound bag at Costco.
That's good. That's good cauliflower rice, though. That's what I was going to recommend. If you say, really "Oh, I pulse my own cauliflower and make my own rice,"
ain't like, nobody got time for that.
Right, save the step as well as like all the crap that you throw out on a regular cauliflower. Mm-hmm. Just buy the bag.
Yeah, well, I figured I'd get the giant because it was like $7. I think it was cheap, $7 or $8.
Yeah,
and what is it? That's it's got to be like 5 pounds, right? It's a big ass bag. I don't know. Cauliflower you buy a lot.
But you buy a head of cauliflower and you're going to be paying that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why you get like 5 times more.
Yep, that's true. And I bought it's like a fucking gallon of olive oil.
Yeah.
Cause I track my macros. You know what I mean? So if I didn't hit my fat level for the day, then I'll just like down a spoonful of olive oil.
Sure.
And so I was like, you know what? F it. Because, you know, you buy a little bottle of olive oil, and it's like $10, $12, $15.
Oh, yeah.
This is like, I think it's a 2-liter bottle. And it was like $20.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. I tried it. It's good.
You'll be chugging on that like a liter of Pepsi.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. I might.
Yeah.
I might. Yeah. What else did I get? Tilapia, chicken. I got some smoked salmon. They had samples, and it was delicious. Oh. And actually, it was freaking hilarious. So, I swear to God, my wife just wants to go to Costco for samples.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, because we hit up every sample station before we started shopping.
For sure. A lot of people do it.
So we got to the meat section, and they had these little like veggie bite things. They look like, like tater tots.
But oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, but they're made out of veggies. I loved them. My wife did not like them. I loved them. And then I saw that the lady had smoked salmon, and I love smoked salmon. Matter of fact, I had a freaking nasty-ass craving for smoked salmon a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I left work and went to the supermarket to buy a pack of smoked salmon and just, like, ate it on the way back to work. it was, like, the most expensive lunch ever because it was, like, $15 for whatever the – like a half pound, quarter pound, I don't even know. It's not a lot in a smoked salmon pack. But she's like, I don't want to try it. I don't like smoked salmon. And Reagan's like, yeah, I'll try it. And she smelled it. She's like, all right, it smells kind of salmon-y. I was like, yeah, it's good. So I downed mine, and I got another one. And then she took a little bite. She always does it. She takes a little nibble. And she's like, interesting. She's like, it's got the consistency of salmon, but it kind of tastes like dog treats.
Ooh.
I was like, I don't know why you're eating dog treats, but if you don't like it, I'll eat it. So I ate hers as well.
And, well, that sounds delicious to Daddy, so I'll have that. Thank you.
Dude, I love smoked salmon.
I love dog treats.
Hey, I've tried – you don't have a dog, do you? You don't have a dog.
Growing up, we did.
Did you ever try, like, the dog treat?
Yeah, I've tried everything dog would, except I would try dried. Anything dried, but anything moist, no thank you.
No, I've never tried moist dog food. It smells god-awful.
Yep.
But, like, dog treats, some of them are really good, because my wife's into, like, organic stuff and everything, so she'll get, like, organic dog treats.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like, fucking dried peanut butter, you know what I mean? Like, they're fine.
Right. Or, like, beef jerky, but not really beef.
Yeah. Oh, my God, they had... which we bought them last time we were at Costco, but they had samples of that Korean barbecue jerky. Man, that thing is so good.
Ooh.
And the lady was freaking hilarious.
back to your salmon.
Yeah.
Is this like the lox smoked salmon, or is this the flaky smoked salmon?
The lox.
Okay, because I see both of them, and I'm always debating, and I know around Christmas time, because we just went back a couple weeks ago, around Christmas time, they had this smoked salmon spread that had, like, capers and cream cheese, and it was just so – it was like a pound of it, and it was so freaking good.
I bet. But
then we went back, and there was nothing. All we saw were the lox and then the individual, like, flaked – like hard smoked salmon.
Yeah, yeah. See, so when I went to school, middle school and high school, it was like mostly Jewish kids at the school. So that's when I got introduced to lox and that kind of thing, and bagels and like salmon cream cheese. So I kind of acquired a taste for it. I love it, man. I love freaking that smoked salmon. Oh my God.
Yeah, same here.
I just open up the pack and eat the whole thing. But I get it. It doesn't quite taste like salmon.
But it has a cool texture to it, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's good, man. And plus, it lasts forever because it's smoked. So smoked stuff doesn't really go bad.
No. It's one of those, it never says expired by. It's always like sell by this date.
Yeah.
It's never like good till this date. They don't want to share that with you.
Yep. But, so yeah, we got that. And I got a bunch of avocados because I'm going to do a. I'm gonna eat normal the next couple of days, but I'm gonna do a fat fast for 3 days.
Oh, geez.
I told you I'm trying to experiment on some things.
I know.
So I'm gonna do a fat fast for 3 days, and it'll just be avocado for breakfast, avocado for lunch, and then nothing until the next day. And I'm gonna do this for 3 days.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I used to buy their avocados, but then I started to buy their individual packs of guacamole, and they're like perfect portion of guac, and to me they taste fantastic, but I also know exactly how much carbs and nutrition is in it, where for me my wife got burned out on fresh avocados, so it would just be on me, and needless to say the Costco amount is way too much, and then I feel like I'm throwing out like a third of them. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. I don't eat that many. I'll eat a couple in a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my wife's the same way. She got a little burnt out from it because she was eating them for like every day for weeks, and she got burnt out. So I don't think she's had one in probably like a year. But I buy a couple every week, and then if I bought too many and one of them starts to like, you know how they start getting brown on the inside.
Oh yeah.
When it starts browning, I won't eat it straight up. Cause all I'll do is I'll cut it open, put some salt on it and eat it.
Okay.
But when they start browning, that's when I'll make guacamole from it.
Gotcha.
It was funny too. I was like, God damn it. If I was born 3,000 years ago, I would have just invented guacamole. And my wife's like, why? I was like, well, I had this craving for avocado and I opened it and it started to brown. I was like, you know what? Maybe I can mix it with stuff. So I put some lime juice in it and sour cream, salt and pepper. And I tried it. I was like, this is so good. And she's like, yeah, you invented guacamole. And I was like, yeah, that's what I just said.
I'm pretty good, honey. I just invented this. Are you still doing your on-again, off-again fasting?
Intermittent fasting? Yes, every day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Just curious.
Yeah, every day. I start eating at 10, and then I quit around 6 or so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great.
Just wanted an update, that's all.
Yeah, it's great. Matter of fact, I had to change my daily intake a little bit. I use this app called Carb Free, not a sponsor, shame on them. And I track everything that I eat, so I know like – because I'm doing a pretty strict ratio. We talked about this before.
Yep.
I eat a lot less carbs than even you do.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm tracking everything. And matter of fact, I might even go premium because if you go premium, it gives you like the micros as well, like manganese and potassium and all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
I'm not too worried about it because I told you I supplement potassium and magnesium.
Right.
That's why I don't get keto flu. But so I'm checking all this stuff and I went in there and then I realized that I had put in my weight wrong.
Oh.
And so when I recalculated, I was fine. I was eating like a little bit over.
Mm-hmm.
But I recalculated and I feel even slightly better. Because I'm eating like a little bit less, not a whole lot less, but a little bit less. And
did
so,
did you calculate that you were more heavy than you were, or you were lighter than you were?
More heavy.
Oh, so you were really cutting back a lot more than you had to.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when I recalculated, I was like, yeah. And so what I ended up doing is my first meal, I'll eat pretty light, and then most of my calories will be in my second meal.
Gotcha.
So I mean, I'm still doing like 1,500 calories in a meal, but still.
Dang.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, that's great.
It's good. I see. I see. It's going around, man. Freaking Ronnie's doing it.
Oh yeah.
Apparently, Cullen Bunn and his wife are doing it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's good, man.
It's
good.
It's fun.
It is fun. Kind of.
If you make it fun. Good. I think it's good to put put restraints on yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as a child, you had so many restraints put on you, and then you got to college or you left home, you left your home life, and unless you went into the military, those restraints were off. You could do anything you want. And it feels like, as an adult, unless you're putting restraints on yourself, you sort of miss that a little bit. At least I did. Mm. Like, I don't have kids. So, yes, if I all of a sudden had a kid, I would have to put restraints on myself because you can't show like, oh, here's daddy eating pizza rolls 24 hours a day to a child. Cause then guess what? The child wants to eat pizza rolls 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So I never had that limit put on me. So it's sort of nice to have myself put a limit on me, which is good. It's a lot better than a doctor being like, look, in 2 months, you're going to die. So. You can feel free, but if you don't want to do that, you might want to say to yourself, let's change what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I did.
Since you brought up pizza rolls, we got that cauliflower pizza.
And?
I don't know yet. I'll make it sometime this week.
Okay. Is that keto friendly?
It is.
You didn't sound too assured there.
So I have seen keto friendly cauliflower pizza recipes before. This one seems like it's a little higher in carbs. So it is low in calorie because it's a cauliflower dough instead of bread dough.
Sure.
But it's still high in carbs. And I think the only reason I say that is because like my intake is really low on carbs.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But we were in the frozen section. And I was like, oh, the cauliflower pizza. And I was like, we have to get this. Because I think she had it somewhere. Maybe at her friend's house when she stayed over there. And really liked it. And I was like, I do love pizza. Matter of fact, I had a slice of pizza Friday. Which like put me right exactly at my carb level. Yeah. But I was like, you know what? Yeah, we'll try that. I was like, maybe I can have some of it. Mm-hmm. And so I checked the label. And I mean, one serving is a big piece. Like it's four servings to a pizza.
Oh, so it's a quarter of a pizza.
So it's a quarter of a pizza.
Okay, that's pretty good.
So that's pretty good, right? That's what, like two slices.
Yeah, two decent sized slices.
Yeah, two good sized slices, and that's 27 grams of carbs.
Oh shoot! I usually can have like 30, 35 grams of carbs. So a quarter of a pizza—that ain't too bad.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Very good.
So I'll make it sometime.
Let me know how the flavor is, because I'm curious. Did they get rid of the? Because I've actually, my wife is like homemade cauliflower crust pizza before I went to the carb thing, and it still had that cauliflower funk to it.
Oh yeah.
So I'm curious, would a professional, you know, person be able to hide that a little bit better? So let me know if there's a little. I don't mind a little bit of it, but it was a little potent.
So I wonder if you added like a teaspoon of like nutritional yeast, would that cut down on the cauliflower taste and give you more of that yeasty dough taste? You know what I mean?
That's what I'm hoping. You'll come back and whatever magic they did to that pizza, hopefully you'll let me know. Oh no, it's really good.
I'll let you know. And if it doesn't work out, the rice cauliflower bag has a recipe for pizza crust.
Sure. I'm willing to try it.
So I might try that also. We'll see.
Nice. I did, speaking of Costco, like I said, I went 2 weeks ago. And tonight I did up a little of their Brussels sprouts.
Mm.
I just halved them and took off the outer leaves.
Yeah.
And just threw them into a sheet, baking sheet, with a little olive oil, black pepper, and some salt thrown on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't even this is the bad thing. I don't even remember what the cooking time I did. It was all by eyeball. But the problem with that is it came out so nice and soft, and like the taste of it was so like succulent. It felt like you were eating beet. It was delicious. But will I ever be able to recreate that perfectly? I don't know, because it wasn't mush and it wasn't like fibery. It was just the perfect consistency.
Well, so I'm trying to think like the consistency of Brussels sprouts. When I do asparagus,
mm-hmm.
That's probably about the consistency of a Brussels sprout, right? Like if you have it, it's probably this roughly. Well, the Brussels sprout would be a little bit taller.
It depends on how thick the asparagus is. If you're getting thick asparagus, it would probably take about the same amount of time.
Yeah. So like 20 minutes at 350, that's probably a pretty good guess.
That sounds about what I did, 20, 25 minutes, right around there.
There you go. Man, I want to try that. My wife always gets freaking frozen Brussels sprouts.
No.
Yes. Which they're fine, but there's something about that little char, you know what I mean? It just gives that flavor.
Yeah, but don't you still have to cook the frozen Brussels sprouts? I never got frozen Brussels sprouts.
No, the frozen ones, you throw them in the microwave for 5 minutes in the bag.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I want the char. I want the char. I live for the char.
Yeah. I love Brussels sprout. What's the one that looks like a Brussels sprout, but it's bigger?
Ooh.
Artichoke.
Yeah, artichoke. Yep.
Yeah, artichoke's good the same way, dude. Just cut it in half and then olive oil, throw it in the oven. Mm.
You know what I've never done? An artichoke.
Because
I've always heard that you have to clip off the outer leaves.
Yep.
So those, I'm always like, I'll go not to, I'm sure in the frozen section, they probably have awesome ready to bake artichokes. But I usually go over by the deli and find them over there, and it's just usually the artichoke hearts.
Yeah.
So I'll grab those.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm a little scared by artichokes, I'll be honest with you.
Artichokes are good, man. They're freaking, if you have a grill, you put them on the grill, holy crap.
Oh, I know. But like I said, it seems like a lot of a fiddle, and I don't really know what I'm looking for. It's like a pomegranate. I don't know by feel, by smell, by touch, exactly what I need to get to be able to like crack that thing open. And then how do I get the seeds out? How do I prepare that? So then I just go and buy like, oh, these are pre-done seeds in a bag. Okay, I'm just buying those.
Yeah, that's what Reagan does. She gets the little pack of pomegranate seeds.
Yeah. Not that I don't mind the fiddle. It's just I don't know what I'm shopping for initially.
Oh, you got to experiment, Nick. Break out of your bubble.
I know. Usually I do.
I had that chat with Jack this past week a little bit. I don't remember how it started. We were talking about something. And I love Jack. Jack's got his opinions, and he firmly believes in them. And I can appreciate that.
Definitely.
But to me, some of the stuff he was saying was not correct, just based on, like, the science that I've read on things. He's gone vegan. Matter of fact, I think that's how it started. He's gone vegan, and then...
For a political statement or for a diet health thing?
Both.
Okay, gotcha.
Both. And then here I am eating like a pound of bacon a day. You know what I mean? So he made a comment about the keto thing, and he and I went back and forth a little bit on it on Discord and on Twitter as well. And it was a fun chat. You know, like I told him, whatever works for you, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's different. Everyone reacts to things differently. Food and drugs and medicine and supplements and stuff. So if the vegan thing's working for him, then good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, I was a vegan for years, like 7-8 years.
Sure.
And I was skinny as a stick. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. But I was always hungry.
For me, it seems like, and I've done vegetarian, vegan type things. It's like, yeah, I can have a vegan corn dog. And, you know, science is wonderful. But holy Christ, can you find a lot of chemicals in some of that stuff that, that's called quote unquote vegan, you know? And sadly, do you think I would, do you think I would choose to be on a low carb diet? No, not at all. You know, give me that hot dog, give me that corn dog. But guess what? I have to do what I have to do.
Yep.
I wish I had that choice to be like, I'm going to go vegetarian because I don't want to kill animals. It's like, yeah, I wish I could, but guess what?
Yep. Yeah, and there's some things that, like, you wouldn't even know. I think I briefly talked about how I'm not eating portobello mushrooms anymore. Because when you start doing, like, some research, you realize some things that are delicious maybe aren't, like, the best thing you should eat. Because I love mushrooms. I love mushrooms. I could eat mushrooms all the time. But, yeah, apparently portobellos have hydrazine, which is a cell mutagen. So when they put hydrazine, obviously this is like a lab experiment, so it maybe not a real world condition. But it like mutates viruses. Matter of fact, they were doing some research on hydrazine to not cure, but like help fight HIV, because it mutates the virus. And I started reading more on the stuff in portobellos, which is agaritine and hydrazine. And like, it is bad shit. And you can, I mean, you can still eat them. If you like fry a portobello, most of it gets dissolved. Cause it doesn't do very well. That chemical doesn't do very well with heat. But like, the safest thing to do is boil them for 3 hours. Like, I'm not boiling my mushrooms for 3 hours.
And who's they? When you say they, is this not an artificial, is this an artificial chemical added to it?
No. It's a chemical.
Or is this a
natural chemical? It's a natural chemical in the mushroom.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it's related. You know how when you drink a lot, you get a hangover? It's similar in structure to the chemical that, your body produces after it drinks a lot of alcohol. Yeah. So, and I mean, I love mushrooms. God, I love mushrooms. I'll eat them raw. I'll eat them cooked. I'll eat them fried. When I was a vegan, I used to make portobello burgers. You know, just like fry up a portobello and a little bit of olive oil and just put it in a sandwich.
I was going to say, you're harshing my buzz over here. I love me some mushrooms.
I do too, man. I do too. But
is that just in portobello? Shiitake and whatnot are okay?
Shiitakes are slightly better, but not much better.
So it's just natural in mushrooms, period.
Not in all mushrooms. In the ones that are commercialized.
Yeah, I was going to say. Other than the white button mushrooms, those are the three that you can find on shelves.
Well, buttons are portobellos. They're just baby portobellos.
Right.
So, matter of fact, buttons are even worse. They have a higher concentration of hydrazine.
Jiminy Christmas, you're bumming me out here. Because now I'm going to have to send this information to the wife, and she's going to clamp down on that like it's going out of style.
Yep. Well, you know, and like Paul's got all these food allergies, right? And like even just eating like a vegan diet, he's had a really rough time.
Yeah.
So I know at least one person made fun of me when I a couple months ago. Remember I was talking about vegetables that kill. You know, plants can't move around and run away from animals, dude. You know what I mean? So they have to find alternate methods of not being appetizing.
Yeah. I know there's you know, there's trace amounts of arsenic in rice. So guess what? You gotta call it every once in a while.
Yeah, and apples have cyanide and blah blah blah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you pick your battles.
You pick your battles. It's tough. You know, everything kills you. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Everything kills you. So if you start going down the route of, well, I'm not gonna eat this because it does this and that because of that, then you're not gonna eat anything.
Right.
You're going to be a breatharian.
Is that just a person who eats waffles? Because that could be me. Sign me up.
No, breatharians survive only on air.
Dang it.
Which I guess that's not good either because it's fucking pollution everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So dang it. You're just out of luck, bro. Just out of luck. Anyways.
Well, let's pep up this conversation. Tell me something fun and uplifting.
Well, I guess I can't talk about the documentary that I watched. Let's talk about the Shazam trailer.
Okay, yeah, let's talk. What do you have to say about it? What's your 2 cents?
Sneak peek trailer.
Yeah, it came out during the NFL playoffs this afternoon.
Yep, I thought it was really good.
It makes me more and more excited for that darn movie.
Yeah, no kidding. So that comes out, what, April 5th, right?
That sounds right.
I think that's right. I kind of don't want to watch anything else from now till then.
Same here.
Because that's, what, 2 months? Yeah, I think that's good, dude.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Did you see the other 2 trailers that premiered during the playoffs?
John Wick was one of them, right?
Yeah, and Godzilla was the other.
Godzilla. Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that because I watched the first Godzilla trailer from a couple months ago, and I felt like it gave a lot of the movie away.
Yeah, don't watch this one then.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the same ballpark.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I'm not going to watch. That movie's coming out soon too then.
Yeah, that's like May or something.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going to see all 3 of those. I'm going to see all 3 of those.
Oh, yeah, Tom Whatmore, he's already locked and loaded for John Wick 2.
That's, I bet.
Or 3. 3. Yeah, Yeah, that's a given.
Yes. Matter of fact, yeah, I think it looks better than the other 2.
It's interesting because you see so many Matrix people. It's like, are they trying to say that this is...
John Wick is in the Matrix.
If they try to connect this up, that this is Neo as John Wick, I don't know where they're going, but in my head, I hope they do that. That would be fun.
I watched a video today about how Neo is not the hero of the Matrix.
No.
He's not the hero. That he's not the one in the Matrix.
Oh. Who is?
Well, Agent Smith.
Oh, interesting. Turning the tables.
And I watched this video and I'm like, well, yeah, I said that like, when did that movie come out? 2000, right? 99 is when it came out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I said that 20 years ago. Maybe not after the first movie. Maybe after the second is when I said that.
You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it just made more sense to me. I don't want to go into the intricacies, but there's a lot of hints. If you can stand through, I mean, the first movie's fantastic. 2 and 3, But if you can stomach rewatching the trilogy, and by that I mean rewatching The Terrible 2 and Somewhat Garbage 3, then you, Think about that. Think with that in your brain. Mm-hmm. Watch those movies, and you'd be like, "Yeah, that's totally true."
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. But John Wick looks great. It looks a little more action packed. It doesn't look as indie, right? Because the first John Wick looked very indie.
Yeah.
And this one's got Halle Berry and Nick. I don't know how old Halle Berry is. She looks fantastic for a 20-year-old. I think.
Heck yeah.
She's what? Like, she's in her 50s. Let's find out.
I would think so.
We're about to find out right now. She was born in 66.
Dang. 52.
52. Wow. She looks fantastic.
She be smoking.
Halle Berry goes bra free in a white tank top as she shares photo of herself dancing. Okay. Thanks, People Magazine.
Thanks for clickbaiting me into that one.
Well, I am not.
Maybe later.
Hey, Halle Berry does keto.
There you go. Is that in the Shazam trailer? Is the villain that Mark Strong?
Yes.
Oh, I like me some Mark Strong.
Isn't it?
I think so. That's what I'm asking you.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay. Huh. That's not even his name. His real name is Marco Giuseppe Sallusolia.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Is he Italian.
I know. Yikers.
Oh, man. Yep.
No, that looks really, really good. I'm uber excited for it.
Yeah, Dr. Savannah. It looks great, man. I heard that the whole Shazam family is going to be in there.
Ooh. See, that's why at this point I'm in your camp. I don't want to see any more.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching the Super Bowl. You know that they're going to show trailers during the Super Bowl. I so want to avoid it because you know they're going to have one. And I assume they'll have the Marvel family in the last trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, don't ruin it.
Yeah.
Let that be a surprise, please.
See, that's the thing I hate about the Super Bowl, man. I almost don't want to watch it, so I don't see anything from anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I get made fun of this stuff, too. Like, blah, 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 skipping the trailer. Blah, blah. Yeah, I'm skipping the fucking trailers. I want to see the goddamn movie and be surprised when I watch it. You know, like, part of the experience of watching a movie at the theater in a giant screen is the experience of experiencing the goddamn movie, especially for something I love. You know what I mean? I love Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to watch anything else.
Nope.
If it was something like Godzilla, okay, maybe I'll watch that new trailer. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I got enough of the first one. I don't feel like I need to. Matter of fact, I don't know if you watched the animated Godzilla movies on Netflix.
Mm-mm.
Oh, they are awesome. They are awesome. So, to me, they have a lot to live up to. Because the live-action Godzilla movies, to me, have not been very good.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, like, the old Japanese ones are good, but they're super cheesy, right?
Sure.
Dude, these freaking animated Godzilla things on Netflix. Matter of fact, Godzilla 3 just came out last week, I think.
Uh-huh.
Look, if you are a fan of anime sci-fi, this shit is awesome. It is really well done. And they're very serious.
Oh.
Yeah, very serious. But really good. I can't wait to watch that one. Oh, my God.
Dang.
Yeah, I like them. Really like them. But, yeah, like, I just don't want to be spoiled, man.
Yeah, same here.
I don't want to be spoiled. I don't know. We'll see.
But it feels like we're going to be. That's the problem.
I don't want to
see, like, Godzilla full on. I don't want to see – I keep him in smoke.
Yeah.
Show his shadow. That's fantastic. In fog, that's great. Underwater, his eyes peeking out. That's fantastic. But let that reveal happen. Like, I hate to say it, that M. Night Shyamalan movie, Glass, I feel like the last couple trailers showed so much.
Yeah, they did. Oh, that's out, right?
Yeah, it came out.
Dang. I need to go see that.
I know. Same here.
I forgot all about that. yeah, I need to see that. I think that one looked good. But, I know what you mean, man. I know what you mean. It just ruins the fun.
Yep.
I don't want my fun ruined. I spend a lot of time curating garbage on Twitter. Bastards.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all three of those.
Yep, me too. Godzilla. God, I hope this one's good. I go see all the Godzilla movies when they come out, and I'm always so disappointed.
You're always crossing your fingers, hoping.
Yeah, just hoping. It's like when I go see Terminator movies, right? I think, isn't there a new one coming out, like, next year, maybe?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think they're rebooting the franchise. It's the same thing. Like, Terminator 1 was great, but Terminator 2 was, like, my favorite movie of the 90s.
Sure.
Well, is that true? When did Predator come out? No, Predator was 88. All right, so Terminator 2 was my favorite movie of the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, all the other ones are just kind of meh, you know? Like, I understand that they can't, like, retell the same story in this and the other, but that's because T2 is a perfect fucking movie.
It is.
And so I go see all these other ones. I'm like, ugh, yeah, okay. Here's the plot twist that's going to happen in the last 5 minutes, and sure as shit, there it is. And that's just not fun.
And here's the CGI Arnold, the young Arnold.
Don't you hate that? Like, leave the man alone.
Oh, gosh. Come on.
Leave the man alone.
Yep.
But I guess he gets to get a royalty check or whatever the hell.
Like, I hate to say it. At this point, the way they did Robert Patrick in 2, like, just bring on somebody new.
Mm.
Like, even if you're saying that this is Arnold and he's talking just like Arnold or, you know, doing a homage that way, but it's still a robot, you know, that, like, just do it that way. We don't need the same person.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we had this discussion about, like, Marvel superhero films or DC superhero films. I don't care how many people are Spider-Man. Just put Spider-Man up on the damn screen. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can make a Miles Morales. You know who's not going to be pissed? This guy right here.
So you said Robert Patterson, which reminded me of this trailer that I saw.
I said Robert Patrick.
Oh, Patrick.
You might be thinking of, what the hell's that dumb show? That dumb movie that he was in?
Robert Patrick?
No, Patterson.
Well, I'm thinking Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
Yeah, from Twilight.
All right. So, yes, Twilight is a garbage movie.
Yes.
I did see it because I was dating this girl that when those came out and she loved them. I think we had to see the first one for like three times in the theaters. And then, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you know what? That was my ex-wife. That's the one that loved it. Oh, God. No wonder I divorced her.
Did she also read 50 Shades of Grey?
I don't know. Was that out when we were married? I don't think so. My wife did go see that with her friends.
As long as she didn't drag you.
Just the first one.
Ah.
She's like, this is terrible. The book's way better. I was like, it usually is. No, Robert Pattinson from Twilight fame. I always thought of him as a horrendous actor.
Okay.
I think he's just god awful.
Mm.
But he had a movie that came out last year. What was the name of that movie? I don't remember now. Dang it. Anyways, he was in a movie last year, a little indie flick. And it got a bunch of awards, like tons of awards. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Because I remember him from the Twilight movies. And I never thought anything about it. I was on YouTube this past week, and there was a trailer that popped up, and it said Netflix Original. And I love me some Netflix Original.
Okay.
And the trailer started, and it is a fantastic trailer. I can't remember the name of the movie. I'm trying to look it up right now, and the only one that I can find is The Devil All the Time, so maybe that's it. Okay. Is this it? It is it. It is described as a Midwestern gothic involving a serial killer couple, a faith-testing preacher, and a corrupt local sheriff in a story told across two decades. It's got Pattinson, like I said. He's the main character. He's one of the serial killers. The other serial killer is Chris Evans. Tom Holland is in the movie.
Wow.
It's produced by Jake Gyllenhaal. Bill Skarsgård is in it.
Wow.
Dude, you need to see this trailer. It is creepy as crap. Like, I was watching this, and I was like, I don't know what I just watched. I'm going to watch it again. And wait a second, is that the Twilight guy? He can actually act. I was very shocked. But yeah, weird. I'm looking forward to this, and it's a Netflix original.
Oh, wow.
Created by the guy that did The Sinner, which I have not seen. It's on my queue, though. That's got Mrs. Justin Timberlake. What's her name? Jessica Biel. Mm, I used to love me some Jessica Biel.
Gotcha.
She's gotten too skinny now, though. you want a little meat on the bones. You know what I mean, Nick? Come on now.
Sure.
So, yeah. This one looked great. I forgot to tell you about that because I just now remembered it.
Dang.
Yeah. And while I was watching, immediately after that, there was a teaser for a new Netflix original series from the creator of The Office. And co-created by Steve Carell from The Office. Starring Steve Carell of The Office. Do you know what it's called?
Is it co-created by Ricky Gervais?
No, the other guy. The American version.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right. No, I don't know anything about this.
It is called Space Force.
Space Force.
Yeah. So you know how Trump wants to create a new branch of the military called the Space Force? I mean, you've heard about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a series that's exactly like The Office, except about the formation of the Space Force. And it's a comedy series. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that coming out or is that already?
I don't know, man. They just announced it, so I'm sure it'll be a while.
Dang. Mm-hmm. That is reading the headline and jumping on it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Space Force. That's pretty impressive. Yeah, pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what else have you watched?
Did you do any more homework for our Dirty Legion?
I did do homework.
Oh.
Don't tell the listener.
I had to put you to work this weekend.
So, it was funny because, what was I doing? This was yesterday. Oh, I was making dinner. I was making dinner and I go in the bedroom. My wife is watching something on TV and I looked over and I was like, huh, you're not watching Intervention. What are you watching? Because usually it's one of a few things. Breaking Bad, The Office, Intervention, My 600-Pound Life, and sometimes some, like, random-ass documentary.
Sons of Anarchy.
She hasn't watched it in a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, I'm going to start Breaking Bad again. And I kind of got her off that ledge. And she started watching Parks and Rec now, I think.
Ah, another ledge.
Yeah, which she likes, but didn't like as much as The Office. Okay. And she's watching this thing that you told me to watch.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, Nick said I should watch this.
Yes.
And she's like, it's pretty good. She's like, there's two documentaries, one on Netflix and one on Hulu. And I said, that's what Nick said. And so she hadn't finished watching it, so I waited until she was done. And when she was done, I asked her, I said, so which one did you like better?
Oh, she watched both.
She watched both.
Holy cats. Okay.
I asked her which one she liked better. She told me the one on Hulu. And I have to say, having watched both of these, I agree with my wife that the Hulu one is way better. And I will tell you why.
Oh, dang, because I only watched the Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh. You're going to have to enlighten me. Oh, but first, you should tell the listener what the hell we're talking about.
So we are talking about the infamous Fyre Festival. The Netflix one, I think it's just called Fyre. And the Hulu one is Fyre Fraud? Is that right?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. Fyre with a Y, because we're cool like that.
Yeah.
So just a brief synopsis of the Fyre Festival. It was billed as like the new Coachella, I guess, right? Coachella is so whatever, 2000s. This is
passé.
Yeah, this is the 2010s. We need a new thing.
Yeah, a new luxury concert event.
Yeah,
like, weekend concert event.
Like a mixture of Coachella and Burning Man and Woodstock and whatever, but for millennial hipsters with way too much money.
Yeah.
That sound right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's people with way too much money, way too entitled. You have to be – it's all about wanting to be with influencers as well as wanting to – have something and be the first to do something.
Yes.
It totally plays on that mindset of millennials.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
So this is created by this serial entrepreneur. We'll get to him later. Co-created by Ja Rule, famous rapper of the some point in time. I don't know. 90s, I guess. And it was built like this huge thing, right? Like Carly Jenner was Instagramming about it. I don't know, like, is that what they call it? I'm not on Instagram. I don't believe in that stuff. She was talking about it. There were going to be like 3,000 bands at this concert. It was going to be over two weekends on an island in the Bahamas. Like, there were like luxury cabins there. It's going to be like a whole experience. Like, these VIP tickets were like $50,000 for the weekend or whatever. Like, ridiculous crap. Actually, some of them were even more, right? Like, I think there was one cabin that was like $250,000 for the weekend. Something ridiculous. And things did not go very well. People showed up to this concert and like they're still setting up tents. The island is like this garbage island that's just like dirt. There's no beds in the tents. There's no toilets. Like, they're eating grilled cheese sandwiches. And there were no bands showing up because they weren't getting paid. And it was a freaking disaster. And as a result, the guy is now in jail. All right. That's the premise. Did I miss anything? Hello? Hello, caller.
What the heck?
My Discord, like, quit. Like, literally quit.
Unreal. Yeah, you were in mid-sentence and it just quickly dropped off without, like, oh, he's on mute. But I still hear a buzz, a hum, you know?
Well, basically, I went through the whole thing of what this festival is and the disaster that it became, and the guy went to jail.
Dang it!
Quick synopsis.
Yeah.
But that's not
the full story. As long as you recorded all that, that's all that I need.
Yeah. It's all recorded. Don't you worry.
Good deal. Okay.
We have high technology here.
You talked about Billy McFarland or whatever his name is.
Well, I didn't mention his name.
Okay.
I just mentioned that things didn't go very well. People showed up to the island. Like, there's no bedding there. Like, it's just tents and dirt. And there's still
geotents.
Like, yeah, geotents is like pickup trucks delivering crap. There's just like trash everywhere. People are eating grilled cheese sandwiches. Like, freaking disaster. And they got
best,
to jail.
The best was the night before the concert was going to, the first day of the fest, a huge tropical storm, and the workers were still trying to put mattresses in all the circular tents. And I love that you just see piles of mattresses getting wet. It's like, welcome to luxury, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you watched the Netflix one.
Yes.
Tell me what you thought about this documentary. By the way, they were both great. They're both great.
Yeah, I thought this one, I want to know what Hulu did different. I watched the trailer for the Hulu one, and I was pretty fascinated with the Hulu one. But I think the wife was just ready to watch something. We had Netflix on, so we watched that.
Gotcha.
But the Netflix one I thought was pretty interesting. Some of the people that worked for Fyre, and I liked hearing the lead up to the festival, mm-hmm. especially from like concert promoters that he hired that were, instead of hiring and talking to people a year, 8 months out, he was hiring people to get the caterer in line 8 weeks before the festival, as well as like concert, not even promoters, but just like people who know about the technical aspects of putting on big festivals. Oh, we'll hire them 6 weeks out. Like it just, there was no way, even if it was perfect weather, you oversell a concert like that, you overextend yourself as well as all the benefits that you possibly could do on this island. And you pretty much, you're throwing out all of these fraudulent concepts to pay off debt. So it was almost like a shell game.
It was. So, and that's the reason why I liked the Hulu one better, because the Hulu one actually had, they interviewed the guy. What's his name? Bill?
Yeah, Bill McFarlane.
Bill Boehmer.
Like, oh boy, don't say that. Come on.
Yeah, Bill McFarlane.
Fairland? Farland?
Fair something.
Yeah, it's Farland.
Yeah, there you go.
MCFA, yeah.
Bill McFarland. That's why the Hulu one I think was better, because they interviewed the guy. And so it like intersperses bits of the interview throughout the documentary as they're telling the whole story. And I mean, they tell his whole backstory too. I think the first like 30 minutes are all pre-Fyre Festival stuff.
So did you get to know more about like that platinum credit card?
Yeah, the Magnesis or whatever.
Yeah. Magnesis.
Yeah. Which, I mean, all that stuff at the beginning is important, right? To understand how you get here. Cause you establish this character as a guy who maybe not purposely, but definitely defrauds people.
He pretty much is just running I wouldn't even say a pyramid scheme. He's running a three card Monty.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, the credit card thing sounded exactly the same. It finally caught up to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he has set up this card that was going to be like the American Express Black Card, but for hipster millennials. And so he got involved with rappers like Rick Ross, and that's where he met Ja Rule. You get through that. Like some of the other schemes he had, like he had some app or something that he was trying to pitch and get money for.
He knew the millennial mindset.
He did. He did.
Like even explaining that credit card, it's like, yeah, but it's not this flimsy piece of plastic. It's this well-designed, heavy metal card that has exclusive benefits. Mm-hmm. And granted, the card is pretty much like American Express. You have to pay an amount to be a member of it.
Right.
And it's all exclusive. So he played on, I mean, since day one, it seems like he's been playing that millennial mindset, which is, hey, he has tapped in on that for sure.
He knows
how they want, what they want, how they react, what drives a millennial. It's really smart.
I loved the ticketing scheme that he had.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these perks for this black card was like Beyonce tickets. So he bought like a ton of Beyonce tickets. I guess from his savings from previous schemes. He bought all these Beyonce tickets for the black card holders and gave those out. But now he was broke because he had to spend all his money on Beyonce tickets. So his next thing was, oh, your new perk is tickets to Hamilton. Cause you know, Hamilton's one of those things that like everyone wanted to go see. And, like people are emailing McNeeses or whatever, like, where's my tickets? I haven't got my tickets. Like the show's tomorrow. Where's my tickets? And so he gets on like StubHub the night before and buys like hundreds of tickets to Hamilton. And then obviously gets them somewhat cheap and sells them at a price where he's making some money off of it. And that partially covers the money he spent on the Beyonce tickets. So now he's got all these tickets, but he's still in the hole. So he devises a scheme to buy Super Bowl tickets to pay for the scheme to get the Hamilton tickets. And it was just freaking, I'm like, this guy, dude.
Yeah, it's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
But all of these events has to attract a certain percentage of people that are like, well, I want Hamilton tickets. Well, so if I apply for this credit card, I should be able to get Hamilton tickets through them or courtside Lakers tickets. Yeah. Why wouldn't I want that?
Yep.
And they would always, for at least in the, which I didn't know anything about this like pyramid ticket scheme, but on the Netflix one, I did enjoy like, oh, and you'll have this package that is, and this was after the Fyre Festival collapsed, that he wasn't the face of something, but he asked somebody else to be the face of something. And all of a sudden people are getting hit with emails of like, oh, do you want courtside Celtic or whoever, this basketball team? And also a dinner with the star player, right, or an evening with the star player. It's like, how can you guarantee that? Or tickets to Fashion Week, which Fashion Week don't even sell tickets. Mm-hmm. It's all like prearranged tickets. Mm-hmm. So, but it's such an interesting shell game.
Yeah. And, you mentioned, you know, hiring people to get these things ready. He had hired like one main guy. I can't remember his name. His nickname was something like, he had like a comic book nickname.
You really?
Know, yeah. What the hell was his name?
Was it the concert, not promoter, but the guy who was brought on, he thought Billy was a joke, was brought on because somebody, one of his friends told him, no, this guy's real. He has backers. They're, you know, this is going to be legit.
Yeah. He looked like a slightly older guy.
Oh, that was a guy that he got to know. He was another marketer and promoter.
Yeah.
His story is pretty interesting.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. But he was talking about how, you know, he was kind of brought on to somewhat helm putting this thing together. And he came on and he's like, I don't even know if I can do this in 18 months. And you want to do this in 6 weeks? Cause there was like a bunch of other stuff, right? So you got to get like caterers together. You got to have the like housing for all these people and food and sanitation.
But I was going to say, even the human waste element, yeah, he wasn't even thinking about.
Well, and the other and thing then is,
he brought on somebody who was familiar with the Bahamas, lived there all his life.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't even know if people can sleep in tents outside. So my wife and I went out with a tent and slept on the beach. And he goes, the amount of mosquitoes and how loud it was from all the wind, mm-hmm, there was no way either of us slept. And this is somebody who's acclimated to that area. Imagine all these rich people flying in thinking they're going to be in like a luxury, because they had different packages, a luxury campsite, a luxury tent, or you can be on this yacht. And the promotional video with all of these like high-end models and
don't forget the influencers.
Oh my God. It's so, but you could tell he's putting up like, oh, this luxury cabana, or like they would rent houses and all of a sudden all of the houses sold in 48 hours and this spend 48 hours on a ship with a private chef. All those packages sold. Mm-hmm. So they're bringing in tons of money, but it sounds like he just had to keep covering his losses.
Well, yes, but that was part of the scheme too, right? Because initially they had put out the general admission tickets, but those weren't selling very well. Like, people were buying some of the more expensive ones, but not a lot of people were buying the general admission tickets. So what they did is, on their website, they put all the general admission tickets as sold out so that people were buying the more expensive tickets instead, even though they still had plenty of general admission tickets.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fascinating.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Well, and the thing is, right, like, it played directly to, I mean, I don't want to demean millennials, because technically I'm a millennial, like, right at the cutoff. But a lot of these people are not very bright, you know what I mean? Like, really, their motivation day-to-day is, oh, what is so-and-so doing, and how can it be part of that cool thing?
Yeah, it's the mindset that you're watching the Kardashians or a Housewives show, and so-and-so has a certain pair, a purse or a certain pair of shoes, well, I need those shoes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, but you're not making the money a Kardashian's making, right. But all these people are like, no, but I need those shoes.
Yeah.
It's so, but the social part with the, orange Instagram that they paid all of these like Instagram influencers just on this date at this time, post this orange tile and hashtag, you know, fire festival and can't wait to go to the hashtag fire festival. And they paid all these people as well as who the hell was it? It wasn't Kim Kardashian. It was their sister.
Yeah. Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. Kylie Jenner. And they paid her $250,000 for that one post. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's just so amazing. But then you find out, like, towards the end of the show, I love that, because I remember social media, but I couldn't really mark when did all of a sudden all these influencers start putting, like, hashtag ad, hashtag advertisement, hashtag paid advertisement.
That's pretty recent.
I know. And it's like, is this the thing that caused that? Because
I think it is.
Holy Christ. Pretty impressive that they, but I know a lot of people that would be like, Kylie Jenner is going to be at this fire festival. I don't know what it is, but I would love to go to a tropical island and I might run into Kylie Jenner. Mm-hmm. Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not just Kylie Jenner, right? I mean, you've got, I don't remember how many bands they said were booked.
Oh yeah.
But you know, if you have several hundred famous people in an island, like, yeah, you want to go over there and hang out with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It was such a fascinating train wreck.
Yeah, it is fantastic. What I'm surprised about is that, like, Ja Rule didn't get into any trouble. Because he pretty much threw this guy under the bus.
For sure.
Matter of fact, it was he appeared in some, I don't know if it's a TV show or a radio show or what. Some show where, like, they get drunk and interview people. It's called, like, Drunk Buddies or something. I don't remember the name of it. But, like, Ja Rule was talking about, after he got drunk, how, like, this whole thing was, like, his dream, like, his idea. Obviously, like, not the execution of it. And that's when he throws this other guy under the bus. But, like, the whole dream of it was his idea. And I kind of get that, right?
Like,
these guys want to diversify. Right? Like, make money off something else other than music. Because they're not going to be doing music forever.
Yeah, they all want to be moguls. Yeah. And guess what? Vitamin water only comes around once in a generation. It's so true. You're not jumping on that.
It's very true. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
You want to leverage your celebrity to make yourself into a mogul. I totally understand that. The problem was it didn't sound like they had near enough time nor the expertise to be able to pull that off.
Well, and what was interesting too is they were doing it on this island, and they talked about how, you know, like, people buy islands all the time.
You mean the Pablo Escobar Island?
The Pablo, yes. Oh yeah, we should have said that. This was
for the Sandals Resort that they ended up on.
So the island the concert was being held on used to be owned by Pablo Escobar. So you know there's like a shit ton of dead bodies in there.
Hell yeah. You even saw a rusted out plane in the water.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But then the map of the festival they were using is actually a map of the Atlantis Resort, Was it the whole thing? Like, I think some of it was Photoshop, but like the parking lot was there and like some other stuff, right?
No, the promotional video that they sent out on social as well, that's the Pablo Escobar Island. But the actual where they ended up, because the owner of that island, when they were going to lease it, said, do not mention Pablo Escobar. We do not want to be part of this. We, you know, they're trying to downplay that history. And the promotional video came out, and one of the first things they said is, come party like Pablo Escobar.
That's right. That's right. That's what it was.
And the owner was like, nope, you're out.
You're out. Yeah. But the map they were using was the Atlantis map.
Yeah. They actually still shot different photos of different parts of the island that had nothing to do with where they're actually going.
Yeah.
Like the part of the island a couple weeks or like a week before, they actually brought in sand to make it look luxurious and beautiful. That it's the forethought is what was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the music guests would have went. I would have loved to hear how that happened. Because spoiler, the festival was canceled on the second day.
Yeah.
So.
Because nobody, well, none of the guest acts showed up. Because none of them were getting paid.
Oh, it's, jeez. So tell me some of the Hulu points that didn't show up on the Netflix version.
Well, I mean, overall, they both do the same thing in telling the story from beginning to end. Like I said, the only real difference in the Hulu one is the fact that this Bill guy is in there and they interview him. And, you know, like,
That's crazy enough.
Yeah. Well, and even at the end, they ask him about him going on trial for what was it they got him on? Oh, wire fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got him on wire fraud, not on whatever, you know, defrauding thousands of people to go to the island. But wire fraud, because he had faked, like, he had said, as part of the collateral for some kind of loan, he said he owned like thousands of shares of Facebook. It was worth like almost $3 million.
Yeah, and he owned it, and he owned $13,000 worth.
Yeah, something like that. There was something about like Comcast Financial was giving him some kind of loan, and like he fudged the paperwork for that. Like he was wiring money back and forth between accounts to fake like deposits on other loans and then deposits on like the crew of people that were working at the island. And so like they ask him about some of this stuff as it's happening, right? And it's throughout the whole documentary. So like when the Magnesa stuff gets talked about, like they tell the story and then they cut to him and they're interviewing him. And then like the start of the festival and then at the end of the festival and like, can you tell us about your trial? He's like, I can't talk about that. Well, can you tell us about that? I can't talk about that.
So Hulu must have paid him a shit ton.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Sit down.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Alas. You know what, though? I mean, push comes to shove. The idea of doing a Wi-Fi chip bracelet that all the fire attendees could wear.
Yeah.
That all of your currency, you can charge as much as you want, just like a Disney bracelet. But instead, like Disney has you charge stuff. And then at the end of your stay at Disney, you pay for it. But they wanted you to front load all your expenses for that weekend onto the bracelet, which essentially you're putting thousands of dollars onto this bracelet that then they could use and leverage as like, ooh, we just got $800,000 worth put onto these bracelets. So now I can buy more porta potties or more beds or whatever. But the idea of that technology, like I've never gone to any of these big modern festivals, but seeing how it works at Disney, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they looked really sharp. You have to admit they looked pretty dope.
Yeah.
But then I love the marketing guy who was sort of in charge when Billy wasn't there. And he was like, yeah, but the island, the entire island, the Wi-Fi is terrible. So how can any of these people actually use this bracelet?
Mm-hmm.
Just everything was just not even like that is under their control. Mother Nature is not. Food is under your control. And like for him not to even be thinking about human waste, mm-hmm. like basic necessities, and even to have somebody who used to run or is running festivals, have them flat out tell all the executives, yo, we have to stop 30,000 general admission people from coming because we do not have any facilities. We don't have any beds. We don't have any food for them. And for Billy to like reach out directly to him and be like, hey, do you mind not sending that stuff to all the board of directors? If you need to say something, say it to me. But you know what? What the hell did he? This is like terrible marketing speak. Mm-hmm. But like it was mentioned 3 or 4 times where it was like, you know what we are? We're problem solvers. You know what we don't? We don't complicate matters with things that we can't solve. Mm-hmm. So it's like, please don't be critical. We're trying to solve stuff, not bring up other problems. It was fascinating. I was just like, oh my God. Like, hey, can we table this? Hey, can we take this offline? Like, it is the typical like modern business speak of like, yeah, don't say that to other people because I didn't tell them that exactly. So I don't really want people to know that. Hush
up. Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think a lot of the inside information came from this other fire company that he had. Because he had an app called Fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was partially related, but not really. And it was basically just like a talent agency, right? Like have dinner with this basketball star, or like invite this movie star to your birthday party or whatever, things like that.
But I thought the Fire Festival was to like not launch the app, but like, look how cool we are. Like we're going to like, we're bringing celebrities and models to you at this Fire Festival and you could be in on the ground floor, but you know, this is brought to you by Fire. Like it's, yeah, it's all encompassing.
But the thing is, I don't think anybody ever told the Fire people that. I mean, like, he was the main guy at Fire, right? But, like, I don't think he told his employees that. Because some of the information that came out afterwards, like emails and, like, some of the recorded conference calls and stuff like that, like, those came from Fire employees. Because, like, they were figuring out, like, this guy's doing this scheme to pay for this other thing, to pay for this other thing. And like some of the employees in that company were kind of like hush hush because they were part of the festival, but they were also working at the app company.
Oh, I thought they mentioned early on that like the one guy who's in charge of bringing on bands, he's like, yeah, I'm doing social. I'm doing like social media. Half of my day is spent on Fire social media.
Right.
And I guess now I'm in charge of talent acquisition for the Fire Festival. Mm-hmm. Like he roped in some people from Fire, like, oh, Billy is here to do Fire stuff. And then now he's in the Bahamas doing Fire Festival, I guess. So we're not going to be able to have him in that meeting.
Yep.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Is it worth for me to watch? It sounds like it is worth watching the Hulu one as well.
Yeah, I mean, you'll know the story already. I mean, story-wise, I think the structure is the same. But just, like, having this guy on there, just, to, like, to see the kind of things that he says. Like, I don't know
The trailer has the interviewer, like, the first thing on the trailer is, Billy, people call you a sociopath. And he just blankly blinks at him and he's like, do you know what a sociopath is? Why don't you tell me?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
Well, and the thing is, he's a con man, right? So like,
yeah.
Part of the time you're watching this and you're like, well, is this guy for real?
Oh, like, he's for real.
Does he believe everything he says? Cause you know, there is that kind of thing, right? Like you can be so delusional that you believe every lie that you tell somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you don't think you're doing anything wrong because you believe it's the truth. But then, like, if he's a con man, then that could just be an act to make himself look better in public.
Or you just start believing all the lies in the history because you have to remember it all.
Yeah. Well, that's true too. Yeah.
But he was smart as hell. I'll say that.
Oh, for sure.
Holy Christ.
And the fact that it took, because I mean, this guy's been doing crap for years, right? Like, the fact that it took this long for him to finally get caught is crazy.
But not this long. I mean, did you tell, I missed the part, but did you mention when the Fire Festival happened? It was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's the scary thing. Like, if no one knows what this fire festival is, like, it happened 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Like, that is some history right there.
Yep.
And I just looked, I looked up fire festival online. I did a search on it, and just 8 hours ago, Ja Rule, when I pulled up fire festival, that was in one of the timelines, and Ja Rule eight hours ago said, it's interesting that people can watch documentaries and think they know the whole story. and it's like, dude, he's very smart, but it's like, why would you say anything on social? Why wouldn't you be blocking people left and right? Do you really want that on your timeline? Why are you trying to justify anything? Even if you're like, I didn't know one single thing about it. Like, whether you did or didn't.
I mean, you're still the guy. You know what I mean? You're like, right. He's with Billy doing interviews on TV and going on social and this, that, and the other. So,
well, even when the shit hit the fan, they're on a conference call talking about, like, damage control, and somebody brings up fraud, and Ja Rule was like, yo, this is not fraud. This is more just like a little white lie. Hmm. And it's like, whoa, what's the difference? Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so. And I love that they promise these expensive luxury tents. And then when somebody flies over the island, it takes a picture of the geodesic dome tents. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, the picture that's on the website has all the description of it, but the picture or the drawing of the tent is wiped away. Mm. Like, how can that not be? Oh, fascinating. But I mean, I've told you before, I love me a con job. It's so much fun. Yeah.
I found an article. There's on Vulture. There's which documentary is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they go through, like, if you like, if you need a Firefest primer, watch the Netflix one. If you like Rich People Just Shot in Florida, it's a tie. If you want to blame the millennials, watch Fire Fraud on Hulu. If you love a hateable villain, watch Fire on Netflix. If you want to laugh, Hulu's Fire Fraud. If you want to get angry, Netflix is Fire. If you're looking for smart cultural critique, Hulu's Fire Fraud. But anyway, there's a quote on here, because I guess they talked to both directors for both of these documentaries. Mm-hmm. The guy that did the Netflix documentary says that Billy got paid $250,000 to appear in the Hulu one. And the Hulu guy says that it was less than that. So who the hell cares? Yeah, who cares? My guess, he probably got like $100,000 for this.
Even if he got 250, they can spend their money however they want. But the attraction of a Billy interview, that would draw me there.
Yep. Isn't that part of the problem, though?
Maybe. But I don't care. Hey, you know who's already paying for Hulu? This guy.
Yeah.
So I got to find some stuff to watch on that.
How do you respond to that?
Ugh, I hate autoplay ads. Stop. God, this Billy guy, he's something. Woo.
But that was a good couple hours. That was a fun watch.
Yeah, it was great. They're both about an hour and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really good. Well worth watching.
But boy, to see them just like on this island at a bonfire with all these supermodels, like, let's just film everything.
Uh-huh.
Like, holy Christ, how much did you have to pay to get those supermodels there?
No kidding.
And then also to go onto their social accounts and like post stuff. Mm. So it's all messed up. But I loved seeing all of the millennials go, all the concert goers, like, what the hell's going on here? Where's the private chefs? Where? I thought we were going to have sushi. And oh, God, it was so fantastic. Especially, you know, all these people, all they wanted to do was brag about, we went to the first one. We were one of the few, the elite, that made it there. Get out of here.
Uh-huh. Oh, I like, love it. I like when these poor fucking people, man, when the U.S. government sent planes to get them back to the U.S. Because there was no way for them to get off the island. And they sent planes.
But did you see what that they had to wait overnight?
Well, you know why, right?
But on the Netflix one? they had to wait overnight in the airport. And what the airport did was they actually chain and locked the door so no one could get out.
Yeah, but
it's like, oh my God, imagine the fire hazard.
Well, yes. Like, but the reason for that is they had more people on the plane than was on the manifest.
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic.
Of course. There was no return flights because they thought everybody would be there till Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And then Saturday afternoon, everybody's like, F this, take us out, get us out of here. But that picture of the cheese sandwich with like one slice of tomato and one bib of lettuce. Oh my God. That's so good.
Uh-huh. Fantastic. Go watch this. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's right up there with the perfect bid for me. Those are two fantastic documentaries that, oh my God.
I watched that. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah. Isn't it fascinating?
Yeah, it's like, awesome.
The math in that guy's head is crazy.
Yeah, it's really good.
And it was a gigantic Excel spreadsheet. When they showed that thing, I was mm-hmm. like, how is that all in his head?
Mm-hmm.
But then I think about it, and it's like, how many comic book covers are in Martin and I's head? It's like, true. Yeah, okay. You know, so our passion isn't Price is Right and you know, those type of details. But it's crazy what the brain can, the memory can keep. Holy mackerel.
Uh-huh. Yep. I've got a documentary I'm going to watch this week that my wife watched today.
Dang.
She said it's really good. Called okay. Jane.
Jane?
Yeah, it's about Jane Goodall.
Ooh, I like Jane Goodall. All yeah. right.
The chimp.
And she said it was good?
Yeah, she said it was yeah. awesome.
Oh, I'll watch that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Apparently okay. it's won a bunch of nominations and stuff, so yeah.
Well, I had one that I read from an email that I got. You know how Netflix is like, we just posted a new documentary in it, and it seems like it's up your alley. Mm. You know how you get those dumb emails?
Yeah.
I got one, and it was for a documentary, and it was, I think it's called Abducted in Plain Sight.
Hmm.
So on the email, I read the couple sentences, and it was like, a friend of the family ingratiates him into the family and kidnaps the older daughter. And I'm like, motherfucker, that sounds like a nightmare. Oh my God, I have to watch that. So after watching Fire, I went to search for that, found it, put it into my queue. But you know, when you go to like put it into your queue, right there's the like summary.
Mm-hmm.
And the summary that was on actual Netflix was 10 times better than the summary that was on this email. It was like, a friend, a neighbor, ingratiates himself into the family and abducts the older daughter, period. Twice, period.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what the fuck? So I even showed it to my wife this afternoon, and I'm like, how does that happen? That poor girl, or is it a Stockholm syndrome where she thought she was in love? But how could the family let that happen twice?
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
I'll be putting Jane in my queue for sure.
I'm gonna put a movie on your radar.
Oh.
Because I'm gonna see if I can find somewhere near me to watch this. I don't know how far I'm gonna have to drive because it's not Uh-oh. In a theater near me. So I may need to go to Charlotte. But it's a small indie sci-fi flick called Prospect. And it looks freaking awesome. Watch the trailer.
Okay.
It is suspenseful, but not scary.
Okay.
It's a sci-fi flick with no aliens in it, but set in space.
Oh.
It's about this, I think it's a father and daughter that get like mining rights to mine on this moon.
Okay.
But there's people that are, I guess maybe like mining illegally there already. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those suspense thrillers. But with a sci-fi twist. It looks really good. It's called Prospect.
Interesting. Did it come out in the fall?
It just came out.
Oh, okay. Because I see Prospect came out November 9th, 2018. That's why I had to ask.
Yes, that's the one. That's okay. the one. Yeah, because it was an early showing.
Gotcha.
I know the DVD Blu-ray thing comes out, I think, March or April.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you can catch this... It looks really good. I just got one more thing for you, Nick.
Sure, hit me.
We haven't talked about this. There's a new streaming service.
To who?
IMDb Free Dive.
What?
You haven't heard about this?
No.
So the Internet Movie Database, IMDb.com, has their mm-hmm. own streaming service now.
Oh, interesting.
Which is weird because Amazon owns IMDb.
Yeah.
Yes.
How's this different from Prime? Or are they going to remove all their awesome stuff from Prime and then have you pay for this?
IMDb Free Dive is 100% free.
Weird. Okay.
It is like Hulu used to be, where you get ads. So that kind
of beginning and the end of the movie, or like interspersed every 20 minutes?
Interspersed.
Oh.
Hmm. So it kind of sucks if you want to watch a movie, because, you know, you don't want ads in a movie. Like TV show, you're probably like kind of used to it, right?
Yeah.
But it's still cool. They have a really good selection of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend checking it out. If you have a Fire Stick or Fire TV thing, mm-hmm. it'll be on there because obviously they're promoting it. It's an Amazon product.
Yeah, of course.
But you can go on the IMDb website and sign in and watch from there as well. So I started checking this out, and I didn't plan on immediately diving in, but mm-hmm. for some weird reason, I really wanted to watch a show that I used to love, love, love. And the only place that I could stream it is on IMDb Free Dive.
Weird.
Yeah. So I've been watching Fringe for the past 2 days.
Oh, okay.
If you've never seen Fringe, then watch that crazy ass show because it is awesome. But pay attention. Pay attention because there's a lot that gets set up in the first season that pays off like in 3 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't want to spoil it, but it is really good. It's kind of like a more sci-fi version of the X-Files.
Uh-huh.
Except, as you can determine by the name, there's a lot of fringe science in it. So
okay.
There's an actual scientist on the team who's got severe mental issues. He may be responsible for a lot of these weird events happening. But he's been in a mental institution for like 18 years. It's freaking awesome. It's got, I can't remember the guy's name, the actor, but he was in Dawson's Creek. What the hell was his name? Not Vanderbeek, the other guy.
Joshua Jordan or whatever his name is.
It's not Jordan, but Joshua something.
It's his buddy.
Yes.
From Dawson's Creek, yeah.
Percy, right? Percy in Dawson's Creek?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't remember. That's been a long time. Anyways, he's one of the main guys. And then I can't remember the girl's name either, but is it a movie or TV show? It's a TV show. She's an Australian actress. What is the name of the? Oh man, that's also a recommendation. It's an Australian TV show. It is on Netflix, and I will tell you right now what it's called. It's freaking awesome. Anna Torv is her name, and okay. The name of the Netflix show is Secret City.
Oh, never heard of it. All right,
it's an Australian show. Really good.
Is that on IMDb as well?
It is on Netflix, Secret City.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
I think there's 3 seasons.
Mm.
It's kind of a political conspiracy thriller.
Mm, cool.
Yeah.
That matter sort of fact, like X-Files?
No.
Okay.
This is more...
Well, when you say conspiracy, that's where I always go.
Well, more like House of Cards style.
Okay, gotcha.
There's a lot of really good Australian stuff on there. There's an Australian series called Pine Gap on Netflix, that is highly recommended by me as well. Pine Gap is a not so secret CIA installation in Australia that's what they use to spy on everybody around the world. But really good.
Weird.
Watch that. Pine Gap.
Well, I just looked on my Apple TV and of course the IMDb app is not available.
Ah. So. See, that's what you get for buying Apple products. I tell you, I've been telling you for years.
Yep. We just got the Amazon One. not real recent, but, you know, semi-recent.
I thought you were going to say, I just got Netflix last week.
No.
I think you can probably get Netflix on like an Atari 2600.
I don't doubt it, but I will be checking my PS4 for the IMDb. Maybe I already have.
Yeah, for sure. Good stuff on there. All right, that's it. I'm done.
That's cool. Is it, where would you put it compared to Amazon Prime? Like, why would they break it off?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because I hate to say it, you should be making Amazon Prime a little bit beefier, not cutting your audience in half and driving them somewhere else.
I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, in a couple of years, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, you're used to watching Free Dive on IMDb. We're just rolling this into Amazon Prime now.
Hmm. And then we'll charge you for it.
Yeah.
But awesome.
But you get so many benefits.
Yeah. So much.
We're giving it all to you. Free books, free movies, free two-day shipping. Like, you get so much. You get a what is it, 17% discount on Comixology? It's fantastic.
What else do you want?
Yeah. What more could you possibly want?
Yeah.
Oh man, they're taking over.
Would it be great if they bought that film? What is it? Filmstruck?
Oh,
that
one, interesting.
That one service that was out there.
Yep.
That had a lot of Criterion Collection stuff.
I think Filmstruck's shutting down, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up.
Yep.
That's why I wish Amazon would whip in there, and Amazon now has all Criterion. Thank you. I'll take that.
They try these things all the time, right? I mean, look at what's the one that I like? Shudder. The horror one?
Yeah.
That's owned by AMC.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, good on them.
Yep. Happens all the time. That's real smart.
Yep.
And Disney's about to own Hulu, so, you know, you got that.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
More monopolies, the better, right?
The more, the better.
Because that always works out. That always works out well, having more monopolies.
It does. It's great for consumers.
Yeah. What harm could come from that, right?
Zero. Zero harm.
Right, right.
Nobody has ever been harmed by a monopoly or a dictatorship or anything like that.
Right. It's only for your best benefit.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You don't know better.
So we know
what's best for you.
Yeah,
you don't.
We're going to tell you.
Right.
And you're going to like it.
Yeah. Sit on this comfy couch and put us in your ears every week. That we know better.
Yep. I guess we should now tell everybody that, the Nerd Legion is, being sold off,
to Time Life.
To AOL. We're going to be sending out, our podcast in CD format from now on.
Yep. So, and we will be also under the guise, under the umbrella of Crackle.
Yes.
So make sure you download the app, and, you know, you might need about 20 or 30 updates to finally be able to run our podcast, but we just don't see how this, iTunes thing, how that's going to last.
It's not going to work out.
Right. So I think this Crackle thing is the way to go.
It's the future. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Coming soon to Disney Plus.
Yep. We're going to be running it. Did we decide on Flash or did we decide on QuickTime?
Oh, I thought we were doing Shockwave.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. That's some good presentation.
It is.
Yeah. We just need a good developer to be, you know, who knows Shockwave. Back and forth.
I don't think there is one.
Well, it's, let's not say that. I mean, you know, people are listening right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, drop us a line, hit us up. Did you finally get that MySpace page?
Yes. Going? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Drop us a line there. We'll get back to you.
Yep.
And trust me, when you go to that MySpace page, don't think that the music loop that we have, the 8-second music loop on repeat, don't think that that is broken. That's exactly how we want it. It sounds horrible and it's real staticky, but that it's an artistic choice. So that's what we decided to go with.
We are artists after all.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're doing it for you.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Don't forget, you can follow us. Nick is at mm-hmm. Nick Wetmore. I am a geek mm-hmm. behind the show is at Nerd Legion. Be sure to rate, like, and subscribe, and hashtag FireFestival. That's it. We're done. See you next time. Bye-bye. Hashtag FireFestival.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.